The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so good morning, brothers and sisters. I should take a moment to introduce myself, just in case all of you are sitting out there wondering, scratching your heads and thinking, who the heck is this guy? Okay. My name is Father Hudgens, and I am your brand new priest. Thank you. Thank you. I come to you from St. Jude Church in Fredericksburg, where I spent 9 very, very happy years. And I want to tell you something. I am very happy to be here with you at St. Teresa's. You want to know what? All the other priests all across the diocese who all got transferred somewhere, they could all be jealous of me for getting sent here, because this place has a reputation that precedes itself. And so does your former pastor, Father Guest. I want to tell you something. I hope you gave him a heartfelt send-off for all the hard work he's done over all those years putting together this magnificent parish. You know what the other priests say about Father Guest? They say, "Guest is the best." That's what they say about him. So he's very, very well loved. I know I got big shoes to fill. How about this? If I can become half the priest that Father Guest was, we'll call it a success, okay? I will just give you the best that I have to give. Can I tell you my basic philosophy, all right? Basic philosophy in coming to you as your priest. It's very simple. My job is to get to heaven and to bring as many of you with me as I possibly can. Sound good? Want to come along? Yes, okay. St. Francis de Sales, he once said that wherever a priest goes, he never goes alone. He brings many, many people along with him. So I said, okay, that settles it. I'm going to heaven, and I'm bringing as many of you along with me as I possibly can. I ask you to pray for me, right? I've been praying for you since the day I got transferred. Do you know that? I've been praying for you every single day since the day I got transferred. We need to pray for one another. We need to help one another out as we walk this very difficult path. So kindly pray for your little priest, and we'll both together make our way to Christ Jesus our Lord, closer and closer every day. Can I give you a tiny little thought based on the scriptures that you just heard? Little tiny thought. This gospel that you just heard is our Lord's last instructions to his apostles before he sends them out to preach in his name for the very first time. Okay? And it's a continuation of the gospel that you heard last week. And the only thing that I would like you to walk away from having heard this is this. If you can help understand what this would have meant to the very first people who ever heard it, you will know what our Lord wants. Because our Lord's message to his apostles this day is his message to you as well. And he's telling us what it's like to be his follower, what we need to expect. Two things in particular, okay? Two things. Number one, there's going to be a cost right up front. And number two, it won't always make sense right away, but you got to press on in faith, because if you do, you will not want for your reward. That's what it's like following our Lord. He always tells you the cost up front. I had a spiritual director a bunch of years ago, and remember the very first time I met with him, he told me the cost up front. He said, listen, if you want to be in spiritual direction with me, you've got to make prayer the number one priority in your life, okay? Because if you don't, just don't bother coming back and making another appointment with me, because you'll just be wasting my time and yours. He was blunt. He told me the cost up front. I really appreciated it. Our Lord pays us the same courtesy. He tells us the cost right up front. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And as hard as that is for you to hear, I want to tell you, it wasn't anything like anywhere near as hard as it was for the first people who ever heard this to hear it. Because when they heard Jesus say that, Jesus just upended one of the commandments. They didn't quite know what to make of that. You know, the commandments, they're all ordered logically, and there's a structure to it. You might already know this. The first three commandments tell us how to love God, okay? The last seven commandments tell us how to love one another. And the first and most important of those is this: honor your father and your mother. All charity, all love that we will show to anybody else begins at home. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you can't love those under your own roof, you haven't even gotten started in loving anybody else. And our Lord takes that and he just completely upends it. If you don't love father or mother more than me, you can't even be my disciple. Imagine this, brand new school year. Teacher walks into a classroom for the very first time, says, okay, students, let me lay down the rules straight. If you don't love me more than you love your father and your mother, you can't take this class. Everybody in the class is going to be scratching their heads and thinking, who does this guy think he is? God? Right? Well, we got 2,000 years of perspective on this. We can hear Jesus say, yeah, whoever doesn't love father or mother more than me, we can say, well, yeah, he's God. He can say that, right? We know the first commandment from the book of Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus can say something like that. We know that. But they didn't know that. So what did they think? They thought there was a cost right up front. And they knew they had to press on in mystery. And that's what it's like following the Lord. And he doesn't stop there. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And as hard as that might be for you and me to hear, there wasn't anything like nearly as hard as it was for the very first people who ever heard it. Because, you know, we can look up at the cross and we know that Good Friday is followed by Easter Sunday. And we know that whatever you suffer in union with the Lord will never turn out to be the worst. He will always bring a greater good out of any evil. Always? Yes. Always. We look up at the cross, we know this is what gives meaning to all of suffering and content to the word love. We know that. But they didn't know that. This is the first time in the gospel the word cross is ever mentioned. When they heard the word cross, they thought of a Roman implement of execution. The harshest, most brutal, most inhumane form of execution that the world had ever known. Little tiny history of crucifixion. It actually comes from Assyria. The Assyrians invented crucifixion in the 8th century BC. And then when the Roman army expanded and expanded, and they came across the Assyrians and their expanding army, and they saw the Assyrian crucifixions, the Romans said, hey, this is a great way to intimidate our opponents. Let's us start doing it. That's how the Romans started executing people. Here's Jesus saying, if you're not willing to die on a cross, you're not worthy of me. Cost right up front. And a mystery that you've got to press through. But understand, when you press through the mystery, you will not want for your reward. He says, whoever receives a prophet's reward. Let's understand what the word prophet means in a biblical sense, okay? You hear the word prophet, you think of, you know, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the Old Testament prophets. And you probably imagine that a prophet is somebody who just foretells the future. That's true, they often did, but it was much more than that. The understanding of a prophet, the way that our Lord's saying it right here, is very simple. A prophet is someone who speaks God's message to the people of his own time. A prophet is anyone who completes the following sentence: "Thus says the Lord." And you've been that. You've played that role. Anytime you have spoken the truth, especially when it's difficult to say, to a friend, to a family member, someone in your life. Maybe a family member's taken a wrong turn. Maybe they're living a sinful lifestyle. And you know you can't just sit there and say nothing. And you got to speak up. And you tell them, you know, hey, what you're doing, it's wrong and God wouldn't approve and is breaking commandments. You just played the role of a prophet. How does it go when you play the role of a prophet? Do they take it well or do they take it badly? Yeah, usually they don't take it very well, do they? And you feel like you've paid a price up front, and it doesn't make any sense. Listen, if it feels that way, I want to tell you something. You're probably doing it right. Press on, and you won't want for your reward. Whoever receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. What does that mean? Well, a righteous man, like in a biblical sense of the word, is anyone who just strove to keep the commandments. And you're hoping that describes all of us, right? But you know what it's like. You try to keep our Lord's commandments, and don't you fail. Despite your best efforts, and you fail again and again, especially in three areas. Three areas in which people regularly, despite their best efforts, they fall flat on their face. Anger, sexual morality, and forgiveness of other people. And don't we try and try and fail? And you're paying a price up front. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Press on, and you will not want for your reward. What's that reward going to be like? Well, the only thing I can give you as an insight to that is from our first reading, okay? It's kind of what the first reading was all about. It is beyond and above anything you could possibly ever imagine. Let me tell you something. God pays real well. He really pays well. So here's this story from the first reading. And it's the story of the prophet Elisha. He's on the run from the law. He's just confronted the king of Israel and told him that it is wrong for him to worship the Canaanite god Baal, that he's betrayed his vow, he's betrayed his oath to his people, and he's betrayed the God who gave him life. King didn't take that very well, right? So Elisha's on the run, and he goes to this little town of Shunem where he meets this important lady and her husband, and she gives him something to eat. So he comes back, says, "I'm going to get another free meal. I'm going back to her house." And eventually she goes to her husband. She says, "You know, he comes here so much, just give him a room for the night." It's a very simple act of hospitality. Probably put her out, you know, aiding and abetting a known criminal. Probably didn't do her reputation very well. She asked for absolutely nothing in return. But God would not be outdone in generosity. Because the only thing she wanted was a son. Now understand, these are the days before retirement homes, before Social Security, where in your advanced years, your children were not only your joy and your love, but they were your security. The only thing she wants is a son. And so Elisha says to her a word that only God could say: "This time next year, you will have a baby boy." In exchange for giving him a meal and a place to eat, let me tell you, God pays really well. You will not want for your reward. I don't know what that's going to be like in your life. Press on, though, and you'll come to see that those who follow the Lord and follow Him closely never walk away disappointed. Just a couple little thoughts for you here this morning. You know, if you serve the Lord as best you're able and you find that it's wearing you out, that you're at the point where you want to quit, and you find that it's very difficult and very mysterious, let me tell you something. You're probably doing it right. Press on. Press on in faith so that we can both come to know the meaning of our Lord's words: "Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Amen.